We're going to be in the book of John today. Chapter 10 is our main section. We'll drift back into chapter 9 for some background. This is an interesting time of the year in regards to celebrating. A lot of times when we were younger, we didn't think much about it. We often did and had a great time, another day off from school, so to speak. Just a good time. But as many of us have gotten older, we've seen the effects of war on families. We've seen the effects of war on nations. We've seen how much people have been hurt by it and suffered the loss. It has become much more meaningful to many of us. I'm like many of you. Tomorrow I will picture a landing craft, a door coming down, and a bunch of men trying to get to the beach, and many of them not making it. I will picture some rangers trying to climb a cliff under heavy enemy fire. And again, many of them not making it. Or I'll picture those battles there in the Pacific where those airplanes are crashing into the ships. And again, many of them going down with their ships. Also, we'll picture, some of the Army paratroopers, many of them being shot as they float down from the sky. Because of my age, I'm more inclined to drift toward World War II, even though I wasn't born during World War II. But I mean, I drift back to that because so many movies when I was growing up. Still on? There you go. Okay. It's a cost. The reason why I'm allowed to be in this pulpit right here, right now, is because of freedom. Freedom of this country. And a group of people fought for this freedom. They wanted this freedom, and they're fighting to keep this freedom. The reason why you can attend here and not have to worry about being arrested by somebody is freedom. And again, somebody purchased that freedom for you. The reason why you can choose to do a lot of things or not choose to do a lot of things, again, is freedom. People put on the uniform. People went and paid the price. Not all of them, as you saw according to Tom's devotion, not all of them wore a uniform. Sometimes in the civilian sector, many of them paid the price so that we could be free. Today, we want to talk a little bit more about paying the price, recognizing the cost of our freedom. And I've chosen this passage today from John chapter 10. It's primarily going to come, we're going to pick up primarily at with the verse there in verse 14. I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That's going to be the focal point. The reason why we have freedom in Christ, in God. The reason why we have freedom is because Jesus was willing to lay down His life. We had the shackles of sin. Sin, not everybody notices the sin in their lives. They're happy-go-lucky, they're celebrating, they're just eating, drinking, and being merry. They don't realize the sin until later in life. And they realize just how much damage they've done to their bodies, how much damage they've done to their souls. And then they realize what they need to do, and that's to get life right. Sometimes God allows them to get to that point where they can do that. But many, they think it's too late, and they just want everything to do with Christ. They don't recognize the cost until it's too late. In Christianity, those Christians who genuinely celebrate the Lord's Supper, who genuinely celebrate Christ's atoning death, they recognize what Christ has done for us. They recognize what God did for us. Today we want to emphasize that a little bit more in the study of this passage. The background for chapter 10 goes back to chapter 9. And if you'll drift back there at the start of chapter 9, verse 1, the NIV has a title above it that says, Jesus heals a man born blind. A man has been born blind. As you go through this, this healing takes place. And as you get to verse 11, it says, He replied, The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Well, where is this man? They asked him. Well, I don't know, he says. So the healing's taking place. He doesn't know a whole lot about Jesus. So what we got occurs next is an investigation takes place. And you pick up in verse 13 where the Pharisees are going to investigate the healing. They're going to ask questions. They want to know what's going on. During this discussion that they began to have with him, you'll notice about verse 30, the man answered, Now this is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to a godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could not do anything, or he could do nothing. To this they replied, You were steeped in sin. They believe somebody born blind like that was steeped in sin, and this started at your birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. And then you go on into the next part. Jesus then begins to talk about spiritual blindness. You all think you can see, but you really are blind. And the ones that can see were the ones that were blind, but now they've had their eyes open. That leads him into chapter 10, where he's going to now discuss the shepherd and his flock. And the first thing he's going to give is an illustration here. Look at verses 1 through 6. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. You all understand that. If they don't come in through your front door, they try to come in some other way, they probably got ulterior motives, right? At your own house. If they don't come to the normal door you're used to, you're wondering what their motives are. And if they definitely come in sometime when you're not there, you know they weren't invited. Well, Jesus uses the illustration of a sheep pen. Those who come through the main gate to get the sheep, that's the ones that are supposed to do it. But these others are climbing over the walls, breaking down something else, and they're trying to get these sheep out. It goes on, verse 2, the man who enters the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. Now, I don't understand all the logistics of how they set up these things, but a lot of times they had a combined herds together. You as a shepherd brought your group in, another shepherd brought his group in, and they all went into the same area, and there was a watchman that was hired to work the gate to make sure the right people went in and out. So this is what's taking place here. End of verse 3 says, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. These sheep were so well used to their master that when the shepherd came and just spoke, when he began to speak, they knew who they belonged to. When he brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. He's gone into this illustration. He's just come off of healing a blind man. They've kicked him out of the synagogue, so to speak. They want nothing to do with him. He then gives them the instructions on spiritual blindness, and to illustrate that, he gives them this illustration. They people will not follow you because you are not the shepherd. They will follow the true shepherd. Going on, verse 7, therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. So Jesus points out to these group of people here that are listening, genuinely listening, because they're intrigued about this thing. This confrontation between the Pharisees, the blind man, Jesus, they are intrigued about this. And they're listening. And Jesus points out, there's a bunch of people that have come before me, and they're really led by Satan. They've come before me, and they've tried to pull people away. But the true ones that listen to the shepherd's voice, where do they stay? They stay right there in the pen. Those who do not listen to the shepherd's voice, but they give in to some other shepherd's voice, they get pulled away. So he points out here that they need to understand that Jesus is the gate. He's the true shepherd. He's the gate. He goes on in verse 11 now to tell us, I am the good shepherd. I, Jesus Christ, am the good shepherd. Not only am I the gate that they get in and out, and you can almost picture the gate as being the church or heaven. Not only do I go through Jesus, but he's the shepherd that will call them when the time comes to take them home to be with him forever and ever in glory. Continuing on, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Now, Jesus has been telling everybody throughout the Gospels, he'd been already talking to them about this point, that the day would come when he had to die. I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. We know that. That's the purpose for his coming. But he's telling us repeatedly throughout the Scriptures that he cannot accomplish this without dying for the sheep. He cannot accomplish this without his atoning blood being taken to give us the redemption for our sins. You have been bought back. Satan has kind of grabbed a hold of you, pulled you away. And what he's done is he's paid the purchase price to get you back. His blood has covered your sins. He has atoned for you. He goes on to say here, the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. If you hired me to be your hired man, and I'm sitting here watching the sheep, and I think this is easy pay. They're all inside the pen, nothing's going on. And all of a sudden, a pack of wolves show up. I got two choices. I can fight off the wolves, or I can run. What am I most likely to do since these aren't really my sheep? All right, that's what he's saying. The shepherd will not leave the sheep. He's willing to die for the sheep. The man who runs away is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Jesus says, if you know me, you will listen to me, you will obey me, His word will be applied to your lives. If you're not listening to God's word, if you're not paying attention and putting the time in God's word, don't call Him your shepherd. You're just wasting your time. Because the only way you can really know Jesus in every circumstance you're going to face is if you know the word of God. The more you know the word, the more your faith will increase. Am I right? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You got to spend time. A lot of people tell me, I would like to read scripture more. And I've been right where you're at. I've told preachers that too. Before I became a preacher, I told preachers, I really want to spend more time in the word, but I'm having a hard time finding time. Anybody got 5 minutes in your day at all? I guarantee if you got 5 minutes, tomorrow morning you can wake up. If you put your mind to it, if you really want to do it, you can get up tomorrow morning and you can open up before you do anything else. You want to straighten up your hair, that's fine. But anything else you want to do, you open up your Bible and you just read a couple chapters of Scripture. It will not take more than 5 minutes to do that. And I guarantee you, every one of you, myself included, has more than 5 minutes to spare in our day. It's what we want to do. It's what we desire to do. Everybody here has had a teenager that doesn't want to do anything around the house, right? But they go out and get a job, and all of a sudden they'll do anything in the world for money. But they won't do it because they just love you. You know, they just won't do it. If you love Jesus, you'll find time to do it. You will find time. You will make time. Now, that's just 5 minutes. I have a hunch if you start doing this, you may find yourself wanting to do it more. And that 5 minutes may increase. But anybody that says, I don't have time to really read the Word of God each day, let me tell you something. That is a lie straight out of the devil's mouth. Don't let him control you. Find time. 5 minutes is not too much to ask, is it? Is 5 minutes too much to ask? All right. I don't think so. And when I finally started doing it a few years back, I found a reward that was tremendously a blessing. Find time to read the Word. Now, sometimes these things get confusing. Anybody here ever read all them Proverbs? I can't figure out half of them. Okay? I cannot figure out half of them. And some of them seem to contradict each other. One tells me, take your time doing stuff. The other one will tell me, you need to hurry up and get it done. So, you know, there are always going to be little contradictions. You want another fascinating book to read? Read Ecclesiastes. Man, the first few chapters of Ecclesiastes, as you're reading, you say, man, what am I doing? Everything is just useless. Everything is worthless. Why am I doing this stuff? Why am I working? Because everything is meaningless in the end. You need to read the whole book. But it is hard sometimes to comprehend certain passages of Scripture. And I don't claim to understand them all. Even after all these years of study, still don't claim to understand them. I rely on the study of other people when it comes to that. But find time to get to know your Savior. Find time to get to know Jesus. He's the one that's going to tell the Father, this is my good and faithful servant. Let him enter into the joy of his rest. He's the one going to tell that. So you want to kind of get to know him personally. Here he points out that the good shepherd knows his sheep. He says, just as the Father knows me, I know the sheep, and I will lay down again my life for the sheep. I have no other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. So goes on to say here, let me get my eyes back on right. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. The command I received from my Father. So, Jesus says to these people who are really paying attention, I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. These are my sheep. They hear my voice. They will respond to my call. I'm going to make sure that they are free from all the clutches of Satan, all the clutches of sin, all the clutches of this world. I'm going to make sure they're free from that, that it no longer has hold on them. I'm going to do that by willingly laying down my life for them. The people who serve currently in our military, who are willing to lay down their lives if necessary for us, I really respect, because it's an all-volunteer force. It's an all-volunteer force. In the days of the draft, you had no choice but serve. You still could choose to serve honorably or dishonorably, but it was your choice. But right now, these people are choosing to join up, knowing that they may go 2, 3, 4 tours in Afghanistan, or 2, 3, 4 tours in Iraq, or some other hot spot around the world. And they're willing to do that. They're willing to lay down their lives. Most of them, it's kind of a band of brothers. They'll lay it down in a moment for a fellow soldier, fellow airman, fellow seaman, whatever you call them nowadays. They'll do whatever they got to do. They're willing to do that. Jesus, I don't know how he did it, but I love the song. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. I can almost picture Jesus in the part of the divine nature being able to just totally see you and me sitting here today and say, I'm still willing to die for these people. They are special to me. Jesus died for us. Celebrate that. The Lord's Supper is an opportunity to celebrate every Lord's Day, right? It's an opportunity to remember the death, burial, and blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice. It's a time to remember, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It's a time to remember that He was willing to do it specifically for us. Jesus died so that we could have the hope of eternal life. Well, what's the reviews to a death like this? Let me go back here and pick up. It says here, the command I received from my Father. At these words, as they listen to Jesus, Jesus is telling them, those who are truly my sheep know me. Those who are not my sheep don't know me. Those who are my sheep know that I laid down my life for them. Those who are not my sheep could care less, basically, I guess. So he goes ahead, we got verses 19 and 20 and following. At these words, the Jews again divided. Many of them said, this man is demon-possessed. And he's raving mad. Why listen to him? So you got a group that just heard the passages of Scripture. They got to hear it audibly. They just heard it, just like you and me. And here's their response. This guy's an idiot. He's demon-possessed. He's crazy. He has gone mad. Why would they say that for a man who's willing to die for you? Yeah. They don't hear, they don't really know who he is. They haven't taken time to learn who he is. Verse 21, but others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So you got one group, they hate him, don't want nothing to do with him. And the other group is saying, can't you pay attention to what's happening? The only reason this blind man's eyes could be opened is because this man is of God. Now, they don't fully comprehend everything at this moment, but this man is of God. I challenge everybody that can hear my voice, but more importantly, that can hear the voice of the Lord. I challenge everybody, take a look at who Jesus is. If he's the Son of God, thank him for dying for you and give him your life in service. For those of you that don't want to believe it, and we know that there's a group out there, lots of them. Matter of fact, the road to hell is paved with a lot more souls than the road that's going to heaven. We know that there's too many of you. We ask for you to reconsider the evidence and make your decision to accept Jesus as the Christ, as the Son of the living God, and commit your life to Him in service. Christians, every week, remember the sacrifice that's given you eternal life. The non-Christian, pay attention to the sacrifice and be willing to accept the offer of eternal life. Now, in order to truly help our Lord make disciples, you need to become a disciple. I've tried to tell you the way I see the Scriptures unfolding, and I freely admit to you, I could bring ministers in here from other denominations, I could bring them in here from different groups, and they would probably teach you a little different than I'm going to say it right now. And that will be debated until the Lord returns. All I can tell you is what I understand the Scriptures to say, and that is you need to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins and submit to being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We will immerse you in water. You'll be buried with Jesus. You'll be raised with Jesus. The old person of sin will have died. The new person in Christ will be raised. Make that decision if you need to. But don't come and stop there. Make sure you're committed to making Him Lord of your life and following Him the rest of the days of your life. Make that decision. If you're already an immersed believer, many of us are, and sin has weighed us down and grabbed a hold of us again, then repent of it. God, I am sorry. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm sorry. Repent of it. And tell Him and ask Him for forgiveness. If you need our prayer support, come. And we'll pray with you about the matter. If you're an immersed believer, but you haven't joined the fellowship here, say, hey, I come as one who believes in Jesus, and as a believer, I was immersed into Jesus. As a believer, I am now ready to say, this is the church where I want to serve. I want to be a part of this fellowship. Just consider that. Place your fellowship. That way the elders here know who they are to shepherd without any question. And for the rest of us, in light of what God has revealed to us through the Word, let's make disciples. Let's make disciples for the Master.